It is Thursday, the 9th of February, and it is episode 106 of Digital Outbox. Episode 106 for some reason, not 106, but there you go. I'm Chris, welcome along, and we've got a full host again, so Henry's here.
Yeah, I'm here, hello.
And Ian's here.
I'm here, sounding a bit bunged up, unfortunately.
He's full of snot.
I am.
Oh, that's great. Podcast cold, Ian.
Do you know what, it's still quite funny.
Oh dear. Shall we just... That wasn't staged at all. No. Right. Let's go on some news. Let's skip over that pretty quickly. We didn't skip over that quick enough. Apple loses its lawsuit in Germany, or loses a lawsuit against Motorola. So Motorola went for them, claiming an infringement over some wireless patents. And German court has ruled in their favour, Motorola's favour.
Yeah.
Shocked?
Slightly then, not really, because at the end of the day, they're all just going to sue each other, and there's all going to be a whole lot of crazy rulings, and all Apple did was appeal, and their products were back on sale online. So it seemed it only affected the online sale and not the shop sale, which is a bit odd.
It's weird, isn't it? Yeah, so they didn't take them all out of the shops, but they took them offline for how long? A few hours?
Yeah, and I think it was just enough time for lawyers to lodge appeals, and it was like, oh yeah, just go back on sale then.
It's bizarre.
So a complete waste of time. But we all know why they're doing this. It was obviously just trying to get their own back, basically, from them stopping them selling elsewhere.
And there is a little bit of me who just thinks this is a bit of karma.
Tit for tat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it just shows where this could all end. Interesting that there's lots of stories going around about Apple and Google and people. People, and I think it's Apple and Microsoft actually, want to get down in the rules that you effectively have to license out anything that's considered industry standard. So you get some money for it, but it's agreed that you will license it. You can't just withhold the technology.
I think the big scare is that Google got approval to buy Motorola in America. So they're going for now. I think they're just waiting approval from the European Union. And they've had to make some... I think they've just had to basically state this week that they will allow fair license of the patents that they're buying from Motorola, because is it 17,000 patents, and some of them are now industry standard patents, as in everybody expects, you know, that particular, you know, 3G technology or whatever on a phone. So without that patent, you know, people basically, I think, couldn't sell phones. So now Apple and Microsoft have said, well, let's set out something that allows fair licensing of these patents. And Google are, I think, have been a bit guarded at the moment. So it's interesting.
They certainly are.
Six months ago, Google were like, this is a joke and has to stop. But it's now slightly...
Well, they
changing.
Said at the time, this is not fair. This is all silly. This is if that's how the game's played, we'll play it. And now they're playing it. And Apple and Microsoft are now both saying, right, let's have an agreement. Yeah, because otherwise exactly. We might get hurt by this.
The thing is, they have these agreements anyway. They're called cross-licensing agreements, right? You enter into, you go to these big companies that have all these huge numbers of patents, and you say, I tell you what, we've got these patents, you've got those patents, you can use ours and we'll not sue you, and you can, if you let us use yours and we won't sue, you won't sue us. It's quite straightforward, and people have been doing it for long enough. It's just because these guys have fallen out with each other, really, that we're having all this hoo-ha.
Well, Google's position at the moment is that they're saying something along the lines of you'll have to pay 2.5% of your net profit on the device per device you sell.
That's a billion dollars for the iPhone.
Yeah, So it's big numbers, and you know they're saying, well, it's a tiny number really. But everyone in the industry is saying it's a bargaining point. They'll loosen that spot to get what they want out of it, and I guess that's why they're doing it.
Sure, and it does make a difference for Apple, because Apple are actually making a massive amount of money on their phones and stuff, and I do remember that stat from way back when the iPad was launched, when they were saying that Apple was going to make more money from their smart covers in profit than actually just even the gross margin of a lot of the other tablet manufacturers were going to make on their tablets. So there's just they're just in a different league in terms of being able to make money on these things. And so, you know, 2.5% of net profit for anybody else, actually, that's quite a significant chunk of your margin gone. But for Apple, it's you know, they're making much more profit than anyone else anyway. So
the interesting one, sorry if I just jumped in. Interesting one was MG Siegler had a post yesterday about, you know, and he is very much, you know, a pro Apple, you know, blogger and writer. But he had on his story, he mentioned about that Google may be suing, and I'm sure he said it was Microsoft. That Google may be suing Microsoft to try and bring down the H.264 video codec. Which, if you go back a year, Google says, "Well, we're launching WebM. We've freed up WebM because we believe somebody will come up along one day and try and take down H.264." And if that happens, that is really getting, you know, low and dirty. But,
well, they said they were going to get low and dirty. They said if we have to play the game like this, we will. So it looks like they've started.
And they're all doing it. And I think it was you, Chris, that said it. Ultimately, the consumer's going to hurt out of all this.
And that's all that happened. So Germans were left without a way to on the line for, okay, only a couple of hours, granted, but they lost the ability to buy these products.
Poor Germans.
And it will happen again. And it might happen in China as well, because Apple are facing £38 million fine on a trademark over Apple. I think it's the iPad trademark, isn't it? They're basically, someone in China says they own it. And so they can't really operate in that territory using iPad.
I never heard about this last year, but 2010. It began in 2010 when ProView Technology, they sued Apple for 10 billion yen, which is $1.6 billion, saying it had rights over the iPad trademark. But it's two subsidiaries of that company. They registered the iPad trademark in different territories more than 10 years ago. You know, so it's a long, long time ago. But then one of the subsidiaries sold the rights to the trademark to a UK-based IP application development firm, which sold it to Apple for £10.
I bet they're kicking themselves now.
So I don't know if it's going to come down to proving, is there still some sort of ownership? Or did they sell on that ownership and it's been rightly bought? But
this is all in the Chinese courts, and they've already said in the past that Apple are infringing.
It seems slightly ironic that there's a Chinese firm talking about trademark.
Yes, that's what was going to be my point. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, they just shouldn't have any recourse to law for trademark or intellectual property infringement.
It's only, you know, because they're trading in that country, though. It's not like, you know, these are the companies that have their products stolen.
But China has such a terrible record for respecting anybody else's intellectual property.
So we should applaud this company for actually following the law then?
No. I'm just saying that it seems a bit odd that the Chinese courts might even rule in their favour. They shouldn't be able to rule on any of these trademark things until China decides to actually respect other people's intellectual property. Maybe this is them respecting other people's intellectual property, and there's been a bit of a sea change, but never mind.
Yeah. Over the night. At the end of the day, though, I mean, Apple aren't going to pull out of China. That's a massive, massive market. So, you know, they're going to have to comply or find a way around this at some point. And it looks like it might be quite a tricky one to get around.
And if you we talked about it before the show tonight, if you watch Top Gear at the weekend, and all the kind of rip-off cars, etc. I was amazed. That BMW looked a total clone. And ironically, they lost.
Except it runs like a Robin Reliant.
Well, they've had articles on those car shows before where they just show the Chinese coming around and literally drawing the cars that they're seeing released at things. And that's why you kind of get similar looking cars, but not quite the same, because they've sketched them onto some little pad of paper.
The pencil slip.
It looks like this.
Well, certainly for the Mini. The Mini ripoff was kind of Mini-like until certain curves were wrong.
Not quite right, eh?
It's like that old Peugeot advert in India, isn't it?
It's exactly
where the guy's battering away in his old car to make it look like a 206 or something.
FBI have released Steve Jobs files, apparently. I'm not sure why they've released them now or for what reason, but
he's dead, Chris.
Well, can't complain.
Seems,
I guess
it seems reasonable. He's not going to sue them, is he? He's dead.
But basically, they pretty much say what his autobiography says, which is he's a reality distorter who is a bit of a wheeler dealer and not 100% trustworthy.
Yep, and I actually just finished the book last week.
I'm audibling it as we.
Yeah, and I'm not a book. I think it's the first book I finished since I was like 17. I'm amazed.
Congratulations!
Exactly, it's a
new fanboy.
Me?
The new definition of fanboyism. Have you completed the yeah. reading Steve Jobs' autobiography? Yes.
It's like, have you got the knowledge?
Well, if I quoted it to how many games I've bought and completed, which I think is none. Yeah, I was talking about it with Shaq at work today. I think I've completed a game in about 10 years.
You've read the first few chapters of a lot of them, though.
Pretty much.
But anyway,
it confirms exactly what the book said. So he can be a bit of a cock, and his reality distortion field, which is mentioned loads of times in the book. I mean, it's almost every chapter it mentions it. Seems to be pretty much true.
Indeed. Path. Now, Path was an app that we discussed. I think, Henry, did you discuss it when we were on?
We've discussed it before. I think it's been, Ian, was it one of your picks?
Yes, it was at one point, yeah.
And certainly, it is a lovely, lovely app.
It's just a bit naughty.
Yeah, well, actually, this is quite interesting how this all kind of unfolded this week. You know, there was a big hoo-ha at the beginning of the week saying that, you know, Path was uploading users' address book without their permission for iOS devices. And this was, you know, a big no-no and really, really terrible. They were talking then about being able to opt out of that, and then they decided actually that they were just going to delete all the data straight away. So their founder released a memo about it and said, yeah, we made a mistake. And we're deleting all that data, and you're free to download the new version, which won't do that thing.
So this all came uncovered by Aaron Tampi, I think his name is, who kind of noticed that his address book had gone out without him saying you could. And Path, sort of the owner of Path, kind of said, well, it's been known, and it is known on our wiki and things like that, that it happens. So people should know that it's already going on. But it just, you know, it didn't explicitly say it was going to do it. And they saying, you know, the only reason that we do it is so that we can connect you. And also, there's no rules on, you know, in the development guide that says we can't do this.
No, but that's bollocks. That's the bit I got annoyed about. There is rules there. They have broke the terms and conditions and developer guidelines. You know, so Apple, if they wanted to, could throw them out the store.
But they have since put in they've submitted a new app that will ask for permission. And it's already out for Android. And it's going to be...
It's out for iOS.
It's out for iOS as well now, yeah.
Yeah, the update came out last night. I just think it's opened up a bit of a can of worms, actually. This guy used a program called MITM Proxy, which basically lets you see the traffic flowing. So when you connect something and it connects over the network, it's actually explicitly saying here's what's being requested and here's what's flowing. I'm sure we're going to see lots more posts over the coming days and weeks of how many applications are actually doing this. I've seen a couple of other posts and people saying, well, what did you think when you signed up and it says search for your friends? How do you think, you know, companies are doing it? But the bit I didn't like was, see, if they downloaded it and searched against it, and then that was it. But it's the fact that it's been retained, and there's, I mean, what happens if I left the service? You know, was it being retained then?
Absolutely, that's the thing. And the Instapaper dev says that you know he allows you to do stuff, but really all he's doing on the server is checking the data from your address book, and it's not being stored there on the on the server at all. But what he's saying is, of course, that there's actually there's no technical reason to kind of stop you from doing what Path have done, or indeed Facebook, Angry Birds, and others have been doing for a long time.
It's another one of these things, you know, a bit like privacy. That, well, it's all to do with privacy, obviously, but when it starts becoming to the fore, then you get the impression of what people want in reality. I mean, because we all want our phones to be doing all these snazzy things, and we all want to be able to connect up, and we all want things to be dead easy. And sometimes that does come at the expense of handing over data. But as we've said before, it's always, always better to let the user decide whether they want to hand it over.
Something I'm not sure
about.
Get
around all this stuff.
Yeah, it's something I'm not sure about, Chris. I've never used Android, but I've read a few posts saying that in Android, it does actually say when it's wanting to use the address book, it'll pop up and actually tell you that this app is using this. You know, so actually,
whenever you download and start an app up, or whenever you download an app for sure, based on the API calls that app specifically uses, it tells you the aspects that app will then have access to.
Right.
And that's quite fine-grained.
Yeah.
Now, you kind of get a bit blasé to it because it tells you everything, and some of them can be quite, you know, specific, and other ones are a bit vague. You know, full access to your phone. Well, I mean, some apps do need that, but then you might think, well, why is this app asking for that? So you do have that option to think, do I really want to do this on the Android? But I have to say, because you don't actually directly get to see what they're using those API calls for, it doesn't help you that much. It just gives you pointers.
So is that?
So I guess if you downloaded, say, you know, a really basic fart app or something like that, and it suddenly said full access to phone, full access to network, full access to all this other stuff, you'd probably query that.
Right. So it sounds like the kind of, when you have an app authenticating with Facebook, and it'll pop up and say, you know, that this could post to your wall and do this and do that. And sometimes you think, well, why are you
asking for that?
Yeah, but then you don't understand what that's actually needed and required. So, okay.
I mean, iOS already does things like with the location services. So you always, every app that needs to use that. And you can think with some of these apps, hang on a minute, why does this app need to know where I am? I don't think I'll let that do that.
The location services are always very obvious. I don't recall very many actually saying, by the way, I'm going to have a look at your address book, or download it and store it, and I'm not going to tell you how I store it and whether it's encrypted and all that kind of good stuff.
Exactly.
Anyway, so they've rectified, but, you know, it's a bit of a damaging for them. Keeping with app stores, Google have created a bit of software called Bouncer.
Badoing.
I was looking for a dog sound.
That's not Bouncer the dog. Yeah.
I was looking for a dog sound. I was looking for a Fenton Benton. Jesus Christ.
This is Bouncer as in big burly person stood on the door, not letting in. Anyway, it basically scans anything that gets added to... gets added to the App Store and scans it for known bits of malware, spyware, Trojans, things like that. Runs it through their systems in a cloud environment and runs it as it will do, and sees whether there's anything going in and out which it considers to be dodgy. And they reckon it's going to stop malware downloads by about 40%. Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah,
it does, but you think, how much malware are they allowing in at the moment if this is reduced it by 40%?
There's very little control, isn't there? That's the thing about having a free and open marketplace. It's the consumer that has to take care. Whereas, you know, Apple does it the other way around, don't they?
See, any time I hear somebody talk about the open App Store, I just see, I don't know why, Steve Jobs, you want porn? Go and buy an Android. Just every time.
This seems like a nice solution to the problem. Whether it actually solves it, I don't know. And whether it keeps the, you know, everything open. I would say the actual marketplace in Android is getting better anyway. I think it's generally getting better. I mean, there's obviously a lot of droll in there and dross.
The odd thing is, but I know people that get affected by malware a lot in Windows and viruses, but I've never known anybody that said, oh, I hit this problem with Android. Not one.
But it's probably just because I haven't noticed.
Yeah, maybe.
Every night it's downloading everything they've ever done.
Maybe.
Chrome beta for Android. Now, so the browser that you get on an Android device, it doesn't have any branding. It's just...
I thought you were going to say it doesn't have any browsing. I thought that would be rather poor, wouldn't it?
So it's just a browser. So, and it's always a bit of a strange one that you have a Google device, Google operating system, and it's not branded as Chrome. So they have actually now put out a beta for their Chrome browser, which kind of its selling point is that it hooks into your desktop Chrome install, so you can sync everything, which is fantastic across Chrome, across all the operating systems. It's the first thing I do is sync up my accounts because it just puts everything there that you expect to see. And now you can do it on the browser as well.
Now, you see, I thought the big selling point of this was that it didn't have any Flash support.
And it doesn't have any Flash support here.
But
now, having seen Flash online on a device, it ain't worth it. Not until those devices are a lot more powerful, and then by that time it's going to die anyway. Just not worth it. But this thing is not yet. It's very much a beta in that it's not very quick. It's slower probably than the existing unbranded browser. So it's potential more than anything. And at the moment, it's only Ice Cream Sandwich. And I'm not bitter, but I still haven't got that for my phone. And they said they would keep it operating.
I saw a horrible stat about Ice Cream Sandwich that is only on 1% of Android devices at the moment.
I don't know what's gone on with that. There must be something going on because they explicitly said that my handset would accept it, but there's just still no updates. And I haven't heard very many people, except for the ones that have bought the phone that has it installed already. I don't know of anyone.
Yep. No, the way the Google the Android updates work, is it the manufacturers that have to release it, or is it also the carriers as well?
I thought it was a mixture of both, depending on.
I've got a Google phone. I've got the Nexus S,
that's why you've got an issue. Yeah.
Yeah. The whole point was that I bought that phone because that was supposed to be kept up to date. And okay, they've brought out the next version of the phone, but I would have still expected that one operating system on, about a year ago,
if you remember, at one of the shows, and I don't know if it was the last Google I/O or the one before, they said they had got that alliance of partners to say that they were trying, you know, because I think they realised they had a problem. So it was all about, I think it was the, you know, once it was released, and I think it was 18 months, I think all these partner firms were guaranteeing that you would get the next releases of Android. And I think they are struggling. And I don't know if it's a combination of all the kind of different front ends that the manufacturers, you know, like your Samsungs and HTCs are putting on, and it's porting that on top of it. Because I know with Ice Cream Sandwich, they were being very strict about, we want it to only be Ice Cream Sandwich. We want a unified, you know, consistent front end.
And for very good reasons. Maybe, having said all that, maybe they're just trying to avoid that whole Microsoft shenanigans where they did upgrade and bricked a whole load of phones. And they had a much narrower band of hardware to fix onto. So that's what they're trying to avoid.
I just think it's really scary that, you know, how do you write that one OS for all the different brands, size of phones, CPUs, configurations? It's the same problem that I think Microsoft faced with Windows. You know, it's just not an easy task.
It's not. But what it really makes things difficult for is anybody trying to develop for Android. So now it used to be that screen resolutions and the kind of different technical capabilities of phones was an issue. Now that's pretty much sorted with the dev tools you can get from Android. The issue is that you can't be sure which version of Android your phones are going to be running on that your users have got. So unlike on iOS, you can be pretty sure that within 3 months, 6 months, well over half of your user base are going to be on the latest release. You just don't have that same confidence.
You're pretty safe developing for the latest iteration, and anyone who hasn't got it yet, well, you know, you can happily skip them out because they're probably not buying apps anyway. Anyway, we have had a dearth of rumors recently on our podcast. So we felt that it was important that we brought them back.
It might even have been a policy not to do rumors.
so these aren't rumors, right?
But
let's whack some in then. Ian, have you come up with some?
So iPad 3, and we've had loads of iPad 3 rumors. I think since iPad 2 came out, we've had loads of iPad 3 rumors, and we've dutifully ignored them. The reason that I threw this one in is it's all things D. So it's usually when they post a story, it's because they've got some concrete information, and what they're saying is that the Apple will announce iPad 3 the first week of March.
I think calling it concrete, I mean, it's close enough that it could be concrete information, but well, it's probably that kind of unset concrete. Looks like it might go solid.
It's got a bit too much water in it. It really needs a bit more cement.
Need the heat, the sun to come out.
I think it's one of these kind of unknown rumors that Apple have used them to kind of seed out information before. Right. You know, so it is, a lot of people are now reporting this as like, that's probably golden. You know,
well, like I say, we're close enough. It's close enough that it doesn't sound ridiculous that someone might know that. Now then, iPad 3, Ian. So I guess you're one iteration behind. You're one iteration behind, so you must be thinking about upgrading, right?
I'll be buying probably
first day queue. You'll be in that queue.
I won't queue. It's the.
He's going to pre-order.
See, I'd love to see that you're laughing with me and not at me. But I know the truth.
Right in your face, snotty.
it's Shaq that stood in those queues with you, not us.
It's always Shaq that says, "Oh, why didn't you come down? I'm going to queue up as well."
Joe, the worst thing is the fact that I actually pre-ordered for the first iPad. Or was it the iPhone?
And you still queued, didn't you?
And the queue was so much shorter, but Shaq didn't, and I stood with my mate Shaq in the long queue for 6 hours, and that was the one I will never, ever do again.
Showed solidarity. Yeah.
But yeah, I cut your losses at 5 hours.
fool.
I'll be upgrading, because it feels, I just think with the new apps, and even the upgraded apps, that just a lot of the... There's a lot of sluggishness there. Even see iBooks, see using one of these new textbooks on it, really crashy, really bad.
Okay.
Yeah. So and see if it does have a Retina display.
That will be nice.
Well, let's leave those extra stat rumors, because they never get them right. So
would it be enough for you two? I mean, you're both iPad 2 users. Are you in any way tempted, or are you thinking
no?
No, my iPad 2 usage has gone down rapidly recently.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's, you know, occasionally it gets bought out again, but for a fair bit it hasn't. So anyway, so no, not an upgrade for me, but I'm still interested to see what it does and whether there's any killer features and stuff. More rumors. So Google are going to bring out a cloud drive. They're going to try and topple Dropbox, maybe.
And it's similar called Drive. You know, so they...
Drive.
Yeah.
Surely they can't get the trademark on that.
Maybe they don't need a trademark on it.
Guess not. So the drive. They've got the infrastructure to carry something like that off.
Absolutely. If you look at the products that they launch, you know, and you look at, you know, things like Gmail, and they've obviously hung Google Plus off everything at the moment. I'm sure there'll be something tied in around Google Plus and Drive as well. Course, but they've talked about this for years.
That they haven't done it already.
I mean, this is like the Duke Nukem of Google launches. There's I reckon it's been like 4 years I've talked about this Google Drive.
Let's hope it's not the Duke Nukem of games.
Because, you know, there were all those services quite some time ago where people were turning their Gmail account into like storage type things, weren't they?
Yep, absolutely.
It's bound to come out, and it's bound to be free for any kind of more than reasonable use. I imagine they'll only charge when you start getting into the tens of gigabytes. Maybe hundreds of gigabytes, I would have thought, actually.
I think so.
Knowing them, they'll just blow Dropbox. Because I think, how much do you get with Dropbox? Is it
it's
5
only,
gig or something?
Yeah, but there is my little hot tip, there is a beta right now. If you go to the Dropbox forums and sign up for their new beta client, which is a beta, so it could be buggy and could fail, but it's all about syncing your camera or syncing your phone. So if you sign up for the beta, download the client, install it, you can get anything up to an extra 5 gig free.
There you go.
So it's well worth doing, because I've got an extra 5 gig now.
I don't want to put on my... I can't be asked to spend the time putting on my... I'm not on a fat connection.
I managed to add an extra gig, and then I've deleted them all, and I'm hoping if I add another...
Put
them all back
does
again.
It, is that right?
Well, I'd be really shameful then. I plugged in the iPhone. It said, okay, that's 500 meg. And I thought, it's tiny pictures. So I got the DSLR out, just turned it onto video, pressed record, waited. When it's finished, I did it again. There was a couple of like 1.5, 2 gigabyte files. I plugged it in. It popped up and says, okay, that's you up to like 3 gig or whatever. And I just cancelled the upload.
These people, you can't trust me. I pay for Dropbox, so I don't really have any need for any more storage, but End of the news. So let's get on to some picks. I know, Henry, you're shorter one today.
I'm pickless today.
Ian, you're always good for a pick.
So mine's, but it's probably a cheap one, but it's fantastic. Tweetbot. I love Tweetbot on the iPhone. And since it's come out, I think it's about a year ago, people have been asking for Tweetbot for the iPad. And it finally came out yesterday. For the price of some of $1.99, so it's not a universal app, and I can't believe how many people are complaining that an app that costs $1.99 isn't universal.
They have lost the plot, haven't they?
It's like, so there's a two-man developer studio spent a year doing this, and there's people actually complaining about, oh, they've reused assets and all that kind of nonsense. Shut your mouth. Just spend your $1.99 or just use a free Twitter app. Well, I don't see the... But Tweetbot for iPad, it was an instant purchase for me. I just love the way it presents. I think it's so much clearer and better than the actual Twitter app itself. I've been using Twitterific, but you don't get very many extras with it. And the only reason I was using Twitterific is because it had the tweet marker support. But Tweetbot does have tweet marker support as well.
That's quite tempting then.
And also, alongside the iPad version, Tweetbot also got up to version 2, which is a free upgrade for users yesterday. So both of them have like inline images now, and even the mute options. You know, see if somebody's been a bit mouthy or somebody's like tweeting a conference, it's just dead easy to say, I'll mute you today because I don't want to see all these tweets, but I really value your content every other day.
So I also hear a lot of people who have multiple tweet accounts saying that Tweetbot is the only method, really, or the best way of going about it.
Well,
so multiple account uses. I
really love it. I really do love it. It's an easy purchase for £2. I'd hate to think how much I've spent on just different Twitter apps, but I really do like Tweetbot. So that's my pick.
And my pick today is a website called Font Squirrel. This is because I've had to use it this week, but I thought I'd share it. Effectively, it's another place to get free web resources. They have lots of available fonts that you can use on your websites for free and commercially as well. So you're 100% allowed to use it commercially. But the real reason I've brought it up here is because they've got something on there called the generator. And effectively, if you've got a font that you're allowed to use on the web, you can upload it. And they will then they'll download to your PC a package of all the different versions you need to make your font cross-browser compatible, all the way back to IE4. So basically, you'll have a package that lets you get to all the major browsers and makes your fonts show properly. Dead easy, an amazing little service. Just remember that you need the license to actually use that font on your website. So that is fontsquirrel.com. It'll be in the show notes, and there'll be a piece on the blog as well.
Could I just maybe add a little bit to that? I didn't realise how many Google fonts there are now. There's like literally hundreds.
There's hundreds. Yeah, I think there's sort of 300 odd Google fonts now.
I don't know if it's just me that feels. I really find it hard to tell. See, when you see lots of fonts, it's hard to see what's good and bad. But I just bookmarked this little site, hellohappy.org/beautiful-web-type. And all they've done is pick out what they thought is the best looking fonts that you can use for free from the Google Web Fonts directory. Okay. So I'll add that link in as well, because there are some lovely fonts there that you can use for free.
Basically, there's no reason now to be using standard fonts for, you know.
Is that a hint that I need to sort the website out with some decent fonts?
No, you're probably fine. You're already using some if you've used it.
I'm not.
Okay. Let's get some fonts in there.
I hide my head in shame, but you are the designer amongst us. And that's why I'll always end up doing the website.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, that sounds better.
It has to be said, though, fonts come with, you know, it's one of those things where they're better the devil you do or don't. It's like when people first started doing their own database work. desktop publishing work. Really.
What, talk about me and Henry when we were hacking Access back in the day?
But, you know, if you get fonts wrong, it's worse. So actually having a limited selection for some people is probably a better idea. Anyway, go get out there again and have a look at some of the fonts and get your websites looking good.
Good pick.
So that is our podcast for today. As ever, if you want to find out more, you can at digitaloutbox.com. And you can talk to us, email info@digitaloutbox.com, Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. If you want to know what each of us is doing individually, you got Ian. Whereabouts are you, Ian?
I'm on Twitter as Sweeper, and my blog is iand.net.
And Henry?
I'm Talk Rhubarb on Twitter.
And I'm on Twitter as CheesyUK, and I'm also starting to blog at chrishutchinson.org.uk. So that is the blog for today. Thanks for listening, and we will talk with you next week. See you then. Bye.
Ta-ra.
Toodle-pip.
Toodle-pip.
I don't know.
Toodle-pip.
Lovely. What are Hello.
That's all I could do.
It's good.
You've done very well, Snotty.
It's all good, Snotty.
There was one bad sneeze, but I muted.
I
missed that.
Yeah, exactly.
Good job.
It was a start.
Very good job.
It was the start of the path stuff, and I was dreading Chris going, so Ian.
I wish I had.
And the best thing was I had because the volume keeps changing, I had one hand controlling the volume, the other hand with this hanky trying to like gather everything up.
Oh, that's just minging.
Lovely.
Minging.
Oh, I forgot to add that the big man that we talked about with that did the YouTube kind of throwing the guy off the train isn't getting charged.
Is he? Isn't he? And I forgot to put in my apology.
Oh, that sounds serious.
Well, yeah, I ranted and raved about Mr. Dixon's last week.
Oh no!
And then I met a friend of mine at the weekend, and he said, "You know that guy that's going to work for Apple?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "He's a cousin of mine." I ranted and raved about, I had ranted about. So
yeah, there wasn't a lot of raving going along.
Let's get this right. A potential in to Apple, something that people would pay millions
digital
for.
Digital outbox inside the knowledge.
We've just
scuppered it. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
That's okay.
But apparently he's a very nice man. So I apologise.
I think the transformation that he's done to PC World has been quite extraordinary. Never did I see so many lies sounding so camp in my life.